This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of suprascapular neuropathy from the shoulder and elbow section on orthobullets.com. Suprascapular neuropathy can be caused by suprascapular notch entrapment or spinoglenoid notch entrapment. Suprascapular notch entrapment will cause weakness of both supraspinatus and infraspinatus, while spinoglenoid notch entrapment will cause weakness of the infraspinatus only. Now let's talk about some relevant anatomy. The suprascapular nerve emerges off the superior trunk, specifically C5-C6 of the brachial plexus. It travels across the posterior triangle of the neck to the scapula. It innervates the supraspinatus and the infraspinatus. The suprascapular ligament arises from the medial base of the coracoid and overlies the suprascapular notch. The suprascapular artery runs above the suprascapular ligament and the suprascapular nerve runs below it. The spinoglenoid ligament arises near the spinoglenoid notch and overlies the distal suprascapular nerve. Now, with respect to suprascapular notch entrapment, proximal compression of the suprascapular nerve in the suprascapular notch leads to weakness of both the supraspinatus and the infraspinatus. As far as the pathoanatomy of suprascapular neuropathy, compression can be from a ganglion cyst, which is often associated with labral tears, transverse scapular ligament entrapment, and or fracture callus. With respect to the presentation of suprascapular neuropathy, symptoms are typically deep, diffuse, and posterolateral shoulder pain. Physical exam may reveal pain with palpation of the suprascapular notch. It may also reveal weakness of the supraspinatus. Weakness is particularly seen with shoulder abduction to 90 degrees, 30 degrees forward flexion, and with internal rotation, which is also known as a positive Job test. Exam may also reveal weakness of the infraspinatus, which will manifest as weakness to external rotation with the elbow at the side, as well as atrophy along the posterior scapula. Evaluation of suprascapular neuropathy can be done with MRI, which is important to identify a compressive mass with an associated cyst. EMG/nerve conduction velocities are also used for evaluation of suprascapular neuropathy, and these studies are fairly diagnostic. Treatment of suprascapular neuropathy can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management involves activity modification and an organized shoulder rehab program. Indications for non-op management is basically when there are no structural lesions seen on MRI. Indications for non-op management is basically when there are no structural lesions seen on MRI. Rehab should be performed for a minimum of 6 months. Operative management involves surgical nerve decompression at the suprascapular notch, which is indicated for a structural lesion seen on MRI like a cyst. Other indications include failure of extended non-operative management, which is defined as approximately 1 year. Moving on to spinoglenoid notch entrapment, this is defined as distal compression of the suprascapular nerve that affects the infraspinatus only. With respect to pathoanatomy, compression can be due to posterior labral tears causing a cyst, the spinoglenoid ligament, a spinoglenoid notch ganglion, traction injury, which is seen in 45% of volleyball players, and compression can also be due to transglenoid fixation as the spinoglenoid notch lies 1.5 centimeters medial to the glenoid labrum. With respect to presentation of spinoglenoid notch entrapment, symptoms include deep, diffuse, posterolateral shoulder pain. Physical exam may reveal infraspinatus weakness, which again manifests as weakness to external rotation with the elbow at the side, as well as infraspinatus atrophy along the posterior scapula. Supraspinatus strength is normal in these patients. Evaluation of spinoglenoid notch entrapment is similar to suprascapular neuropathy and involves MRI, which is important to identify posterior labral lesions with an associated cyst, and EMG/nerve conduction velocities are also used for evaluation of spinoglenoid notch entrapment and is fairly diagnostic. Treatment of spinoglenoid notch entrapment can also be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management involves activity modification and an organized shoulder rehab program, and as far as the indications for this, non-operative management is appropriate when there are no structural lesions seen on MRI. Rehab typically involves a good posterior shoulder capsule stretching program. Operative options for spinoglenoid notch entrapment includes arthroscopic cyst decompression and labral repair, which is indicated for labral lesions with an associated cyst seen on MRI. spinal glenoid ligament release with nerve decompression may be indicated when there are no structural lesions seen on MRI and there is failure of extended non-operative management, defined as approximately 1 year. As far as the technique for a spinal glenoid ligament release with nerve decompression, a posterior approach is commonly utilized, and then you will decompress the nerve in the spinal glenoid notch. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a 25-year-old volleyball player has recurrent right shoulder pain. On exam, she has right shoulder weakness to external rotation with her arm at her side and atrophy below the scapular spine. There is no external rotation lag sign. Job drop arm and hornblower's tests are negative. The O'Brien's active compression test is positive. What will most likely be found on MRI of her shoulder? And the choices are 1, partial articular sided tear of the infraspinatus, 2, partial articular sided tear of the supraspinatus, 3, full thickness tear of the infraspinatus, 4, inferior labral tear with quadrangular space cyst, and 5, slap tear with spinal glenoid notch cyst. So this is a classic case of suprascapular nerve impingement at the spinal glenoid notch, likely from a cyst associated with a posterior slap tear. So the correct answer to this question is 5, slap tear and spinal glenoid notch cyst. Compression of the suprascapular nerve at the spinal glenoid notch causes isolated infraspinatus weakness, while compression at the suprascapular notch would affect both the supraspinatus and the infraspinatus. A posterior slap tear is suspected with a positive O'Brien's active compression test. The labral tear can allow cyst development in the spinal glenoid notch. Job drop arm test is abnormal with supraspinatus weakness, and hornblower's test is abnormal with Terry's minor weakness. Thompson et al. First described the findings of suprascapular nerve entrapment by a spinal glenoid notch cyst. Furman et al. Confirmed 6 cases of these cysts associated with posterior capsulolabral injuries. Moving on to the next question. A patient with shoulder pain and weakness has an MRI showing a cyst in the suprascapular notch. Which of the following muscles is most likely to show weakness? And the choices are 1, deltoid, 2, supraspinatus, 3, supraspinatus and infraspinatus, 4, infraspinatus, and 5, teres minor. So the suprascapular notch is proximal to the point where the suprascapular nerve innervates both the supraspinatus and the infraspinatus, therefore compression would cause weakness of both. Compression at the spinal glenoid notch will affect only the infraspinatus, as the suprascapular nerve has already innervated the supraspinatus by this point. The teres minor and deltoid are both innervated by the axillary nerve. The axillary nerve passes through the quadrangular space, and compression here could result in denervation of the posterior deltoid. Spinal glenoid notch cysts are classically seen in volleyball players and associated with slap tears. Martin et al. Reviewed the outcomes of 24 overhead athletes who underwent arthroscopic debridement of labral tears. Results were good to excellent in 21 of the 24 patients when there was no gross instability or Bankart lesion present. Meister et al. Reviewed the evaluation and treatment of the throwing athlete. Rotator cuff weakness, labral tears, and paralabral cysts are discussed. Treatment is based on the pathoanatomy of the throwing shoulder, and most athletes will achieve successful rehabilitation with non-operative care. Moving on to the next question. A 44-year-old male presents with a 2-month history of posterior shoulder pain. He is noted to have normal forward flexion and abduction strength and isolated weakness on shoulder external rotation. He has slight atrophy of his periscapular area. He has no numbness or paresthesias. Which pathology would best explain his symptoms? And the choices are 1, cranial nerve 11 palsy, 2, spinal glenoid notch cyst, 3, axillary nerve palsy, 4, suprascapular notch cyst, and 5, Parsonage-Turner syndrome. So this patient exhibits weakness with shoulder external rotation. Entrapment of the suprascapular nerve at the spinal glenoid notch would cause isolated infraspinatus muscle weakness and atrophy in the infraspinatus fossa. A cyst at the suprascapular notch also involves the suprascapular nerve, however more proximally. Pathology at this site would involve both the supraspinatus and infraspinatus, and the patient would also have weakness with shoulder abduction along with external rotation. Warner et al., in their anatomical study, studied the relationship of the suprascapular nerve as it courses along the scapula. They comment on the course of the suprascapular nerve as it runs obliquely across the supraspinatus fossa underneath the transverse scapular ligament. Plasecki et al. Performed a study on suprascapular neuropathy. They note that the suprascapular nerve follows a tortuous course from the neck to the posterior shoulder and can have several sites of entrapment, particularly at the vulnerable suprascapular and spinal glenoid notches. They recommend nerve decompression after failure of non-surgical measures by either arthroscopic or open surgery. And moving on to the final question, atraumatic suprascapular nerve compression usually occurs at which of the following anatomic locations if it develops atraumatically? And the choices are 1, scalenus anterior, 2, suprascapular and spinal glenoid notches, 3, cervical rib, 4, conjoined tendon, and 5, subcoracoid. So the suprascapular nerve has the potential to be compressed as it passes through the suprascapular and spinal glenoid notches. So the correct answer to this question is 2, suprascapular and spinal glenoid notches. If the site of compression occurs at the suprascapular notch, both the supraspinatus and infraspinatus muscles will be affected. If the site of compression occurs at the spinal glenoid notch, only the infraspinatus muscle will be affected. Fascial bands and ganglion cysts often compress the nerve in these areas. The other anatomic areas are not associated with suprascapular nerve compression. That's all for this review about suprascapular neuropathy. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on iTunes. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.